From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Thursday, March 26th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The Charlotte City Council has offered no explanation why it canceled Wednesday's special meeting to discuss the Interstate 77 toll lane project. Steve Harrison has this report.
The City Council is the most important governmental body when determining whether the controversial toll lane project moves forward. Council members had scheduled a special meeting about I-77 for Wednesday afternoon. They abruptly canceled it Tuesday night. In theory, council could direct its transportation representative, Ed Driggs, to vote against the project at the Regional Transportation Planning Organization, but council members appear reluctant to do that. They've instead supported the North Carolina Department of Transportation's plan to spend three more months listening to the concerns of residents from the mostly black neighborhoods near Center City. But the DOT hasn't scaled back the new toll lanes, and there's no guarantee it will make any significant changes to the design. And the DOT's extended listening has gotten off to a rough start. The state canceled a tour of impacted neighborhoods Monday after non-invited residents said they would try to attend. The DOT called that a, quote, credible security threat. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
State officials on Wednesday announced plans to open a community engagement center where residents can share their thoughts on the toll lane project. The center will open Monday on Moorhead Street across from the Wesley Heights neighborhood. Residents can drop in Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 9 to 1. Gaston County Commissioners voted Tuesday to transfer $10 million from its fund balance to Gaston County schools after the school district revealed it was facing a $10 million hole in its current budget. James Farrell has more.
Superintendent Morgan Houchard told the county that without the emergency funding, he would have had to lay off 400 people starting this week. Houchard blamed several factors for the shortfall, including a reduction in low-wealth supplemental funds provided by the state. But he also said he'd been assured by a, quote, trusted long-term employee that the budget would be balanced by year's end.
4 months into the school year, I began to question if this information was correct, and it was not.
Houchard said he took full responsibility for the situation. The district had already eliminated 83 positions ahead of this school year, and as the cash flow problems became apparent, Houchard said Gaston County Schools has instituted hiring and spending freezes. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The new Metropolitan Public Transportation Authority is brainstorming ways to extend the proposed Silver Line light rail farther into East Charlotte and Matthews. Steve Harrison has this report.
The MPTA will take over Charlotte's transit operations this summer when a new 1 cent sales tax for transportation is levied. The authority's board this week looked at ways to lengthen the Silver Line, which is slated to go from the airport to Bojangles Coliseum. Extending the light rail line to Sharon Amity Road would cost $400 million, and bringing the train to Central Piedmont Community College in Matthews would cost an additional $2.4 billion. A consultant said the authority could squeeze $200 million in savings from the first phase of the Silver Line, but the authority would still need more money. Getting all the way to Matthews would require a new quarter-cent sales tax. If the Red Line commuter train to Lake Norman costs more than projected, or if the federal government doesn't pay for half of the construction costs, that would make the Silver Line to East Charlotte even more out of reach. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
A Charlotte-based subsidiary of Ally Financial has been ordered to pay a $500,000 penalty over its robo-advisor practices. The Charlotte Observer reports that Ally Invest Advisors was investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission for failing to clearly disclose that some robo-advisor investment accounts kept about 30% of customers' money in cash, a move regulators say helped offset lost fees. The company neither admitted nor denied the findings, but agreed to take remedial efforts. Mecklenburg County Commissioners on Wednesday delivered the State of the County Address, highlighting the county's accomplishments in fiscal year 2026 and possible challenges for next year. Last year, the county fully funded Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools' budget request of $893 million. County Commission Chair Mark Jarrell says he hopes to get more state funding this year for the school system.
As we go into the upcoming budget cycle, it's our hope that the General Assembly will be able to fully fund some of the critical budgetary needs that our school system is in desperate need of.
CMS Superintendent Crystal Hill has proposed a $2.1 billion budget for the 2026-27 school year. It's Creek Week in the Queen City. Zachary Turner got his boots wet on Wednesday to learn stream cleanings are actually an important climate solution.
Young naturalists are gathering at McDowell Nature Preserve for a stream exploration. Environmental educator Catherine Robertson points into a bucket of creek water.
Can you find a bug that has three tails?
It's so tiny.
These critters tell Robertson that the stream is healthy, which is good news when it comes to transporting stormwater. As our climate warms and the city expands, urban flooding is an increasing problem. Charmec Stormwater's Marissa Barrett said that's especially true in a county that receives more rain than Seattle annually.
We're making sure that our creeks and rivers are flowing properly, and all of that kind of helps move the water out of our neighborhoods.
To learn more about Creek Week events in your neighborhood, visit charlottenc.gov. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Cary-based video game maker Epic Games is announcing plans to lay off 1,000 workers, including more than 200 in North Carolina. It comes amid a slump in sales and people playing Fortnite. In a blog post, CEO Tim Sweeney says the company is spending significantly more than it's making. Layoffs in North Carolina will include artists, engineers, programmers, and designers. The University of North Carolina Charlotte introduced new men's basketball head coach Wes Miller Wednesday at Halton Arena. Miller spent the last five seasons coaching Cincinnati University. Before that, Miller had five consecutive 20-win seasons at UNC Greensboro. During a press conference, Miller said he's looking to build a sustainable program.
I really believe we'll find those results. Like, I truly believe that, but in a very direct way, it's time to get UNC Charlotte basketball back in the NCAA tournament, and we'll be driven to do that daily.
Miller said he hopes to lead the 49ers to their first NCAA tournament appearance since 2005. That year, Miller was a player and won a national title with UNC Chapel Hill. Music festival season is almost upon us, but the Love and Life Music Fest is not happening. It debuted in Uptown Charlotte in 2024, with big names like Stevie Nicks and Post Malone, and drew tens of thousands. Last December, festival organizers said that they were taking a short pause this year and left it at that. For more, Tony Messia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
Is it any clearer now why Love and Life is not happening this year?
Well, there's still a lot that's unclear about what's going on with Love and Life. We had a piece this week in which a reporter looked at a lot of the factors, talked to a lot of insiders. You know, the reality of the music business is that it's a tough business. It's hard. It's complicated. You have competition for big players like Live Nation. Certainly the local hospitality industry, I think, would prefer to have a music festival. But that said, there are a lot of other events going on uptown. That's really part of the issue, is that there's, I think, competition for people's attention with other performances and things like that going on uptown. And, you know, the logistics of it are also very difficult. So we just really explored that this week.
Is Love and Life dead after only 2 years?
They haven't said really one way or the other. Some of the people we talked to suggest that it's very difficult to kind of get it restarted once you go dark for a year. It's hard to say, but I don't know if it's looking so good.
On to some aviation business news. The opening of PSA Airlines in Charlotte last week marks the first time North Carolina has had an airline headquarters in nearly 30 years. What is PSA, and what's the significance of having it based in Charlotte?
PSA is a subsidiary of American Airlines, and people probably know it better by the name American Eagle. It's one of a number of subsidiaries that American has that flies regional jets out of Concourse E at the airport. PSA has about 150 departures a day. It's a nice feather in the cap for Charlotte. The headquarters has about 450 employees. The total employment of PSA is about 5,000. Fun note, the name comes from Pacific Southwest Airlines, which was a California-based airline in the 1980s, known for painting smiles on the front of its jets. It was bought by American predecessor US Air in the 1980s.
We're about a month and a half out from one of the biggest annual sporting events in Charlotte, the Truist Championship, formerly known as the Wells Fargo Championship. Along with the new name this year, there's also a new app for people planning to go. What does it do?
Yeah, an official with the Truist Championship said at a panel on sports that was sponsored by South Charlotte Partners last week that they've devised an app that she likened to Apple Maps or Google Maps, but for navigating Quail Hollow Club, where the tournament is held. She said it's a step-by-step guide that will take you to different places along the course, the different hospitality areas, and most notably, it will help you follow individual golfers because it tells you where the golfers are at any given time. Previously, you knew when their tee time was, but you didn't necessarily know where they were on the course. This will solve for that, and so it will help people find those golfers.
Let's end on the Ledger's 40 over 40 awards, which you announced this week. Remind us what the awards are about and tell us who some of the winners are this year.
The Charlotte Ledger has been sponsoring the 40 over 40 awards for the last 7 years now, and what it's designed to do is honor people aged 40 plus who are making a difference in the community. Nonprofit leaders, business leaders, volunteers. People might be familiar with other age-based awards programs. The Charlotte Business Journal, for example, has the 40 Under 40 Awards. And so some of the winners that we're honoring this year, the Chief Physician Officer of Atrium Health, a Queen's University professor who helps Hispanic businesses, CEO of Freedom School Partners, which lifts up CMS students, and a number of other people who are doing some great work. We're going to celebrate them in a party on April 23rd.
All right, Tony, thank you.
Thanks.
That's Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the Law Office of Robertson and Associates. And for Thursday, March 26th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.